every company in the world.
One of the biggest things has been sort of a viral marketing strategy.
Just about 2%
carbon agenda.
Oh, the business. It's going to be very significant indeed.
7 days with Business Cornwall.
So it's a special For the 7 Days podcast this week where we are talking about flooding and probably, as everyone else across Britain is, talking about that rail line at Dawlish, which has been left hanging after amazingly powerful waves washed away the substructure, the track bed to that railway that goes along the beachfront, the seafront there. So what we're talking about is the action that needs to be taken, and also, is there the money there? And is there the commitment? So we've got Toby Parkins from Cornwall Chamber of Commerce. First of all, what feedback have you been getting from business in Cornwall about this, I suppose, disaster?
The phones have been red hot. Everybody is absolutely, devastated about it, really. And, something really seriously has to be done. The problems at Dawlish, in hindsight, actually, it's not really surprising that that damage occurred. We know that that area of track, gets flooded. Quite often it is closed. It's closed on a very regular basis. When there's sort of bigger seas, obviously we've had the biggest seas in living memory, and that's obviously caused the huge damage. The options now really must be to seriously look at rerouting, and it's great that Network Rail have said that they will be looking into the potential costs of rerouting the line, and potentially, of course, that could provide we could be looking at hopefully reducing the actual time between Cornwall and London.
But in the short term, whilst they are sorting out the railway at Dawlish, that's going to hit business and cause a loss of trade, surely, or do you believe otherwise?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it is going to cause a huge problem. I think that replacement bus services are a sort of workaround, but really we should be looking for a replacement bus service that actually goes from Bodmin directly to Exeter, so that instead of everything taking another half hour longer, we can actually potentially end up with a slightly shorter overall journey between the capital and Cornwall, to make up for the temporary problems.
We've seen the leader of Plymouth City Council say this is going to cost us £270 million a week. That's one figure. There are other figures being bounded around, £2 million a day, someone else has said. What figure would you put on the cost to the Cornish economy of this loss of the railway to London?
Well, I've heard a figure from, I was talking to members of the LEP board this morning, and they've estimated around 20 million per day, which it sounds quite high, but having said that, if you actually look at the all of the impacts, there's an awful lot of impact to an awful lot of businesses that we just haven't even heard about, it's absolutely devastating for the region.
On Thursday, Eric Pickle stood up in the House of Commons and made a flooding statement where £30 million in this financial year is being committed to repairs for flooding and £100 million in the following financial year. Just tell me, is that enough of a statement? He did mention the railway as well. Are you convinced that the government is now taking action where action hasn't been taken in the past?
Well, they have to. They don't have any choice. There's an awful lot of repairs, and there's an awful lot of damaged property, and flood defences do need to be built up, and we've got to avoid this happening again. And it's great that they are responding like that. At the end of the day, they don't have any choice. It's got to be done, hasn't
it? Okay, so from the Chamber of Commerce's point of view, which particular actions do you want to see happen in the next few weeks to reassure the whole business community? What solid actions?
We need to hear from Network Rail in terms of the results of their investigations and costings into rerouting. I think they do need to look at the North Dartmoor route from Oakhampton down to Tavistock, potentially opening a line there, which that potentially, ideally, if it's done the right way, could actually help reduce the travel time to London, which would be, you know, everybody would be welcoming. There needs to obviously be, you know, serious attention to flood defences. But I think Cornwall needs to really come together and put forward a very strong message to the government. I know Kim Conchi and myself are meeting one of the transport ministers on the 5th of March. And, you know, we want to be taking as many new stories and the facts and, you know, from businesses. And so, you know, certainly I'd like to hear from as many businesses as possible so that we can really give him a seriously large dossier of problems that, and, you know, demonstrate that the economic impact of this lack of investment, it needs to be addressed.
Okay, is there a hidden silver lining of this?
To be honest, the only one I can think of is that, you know, I think we are lucky in Cornwall. We've got 80% coverage so far for superfast broadband. I think I have heard of a lot more people, adopting, you know, things like video Skype, Google Hangouts, and some of the other video conferencing technologies. And actually, maybe now is the time to, for lots more businesses to actually get into using that type of technology for, the video face-to-face virtual meetings, which can actually save quite a bit of time. We've been using video conferencing for years now, and, you know, it just saves huge amounts of time. It allows a far better conversation and online meeting to actually occur, and you get far better communication than you can by the telephone, and you can do it far more frequently because the travel isn't required there. Plus the fact, of course, actually that means that the rest of the country and the rest of the world that you're talking to can actually see Cornwall as being, you know, at the front of technology, and, you know, ultimately in terms of communication infrastructure, whilst we're always going to have the issue of distance along the rail lines or along the roads, you know, fundamentally we're only 16 milliseconds from London.
Okay, thank you very much, Toby Parkins. We're now going to go across to Loo, where I've been talking to businesses in Loo who've been hit by flooding. They've had up to 5 inches, up to 3 feet in some places, of seawater in shops and restaurants in that town in southeast Cornwall.
Mr. Michelle Sadler, I'm the owner of the sail loft. I mean, we've had sort of about 5 inches probably in now as the tide sort of settled and things, but it's just a matter of clearing up now. But it's our neighbours that are more vulnerable. We've got elderly neighbours along the quay that we've had to sort of help out as well as. But it's certainly been the worst that when it's come over this morning and things. So,
just tell me what you have tried to do to prevent it.
Well, we've put floodboards in, we put the ceiling in, we changed our floor about 4 years ago, so we've got slate floor, so it can make it, as the fact we, you know, it's inevitable, you know, you live by the harbour, there's going to be an element of flooding at some stage. You just try and do your best, really, to put your bags up, seal up and things, and get the furniture off the floor. And
But does the water come in that way?
Yes, it comes in everywhere. It's coming through our drains, it's coming through the board, it's coming through my office, it's coming through the side entrance, because it's come up through the actual main streets of Loo. It's not just from the harbour, it's come round from the drains as well. I mean, that is a major issue in Loo.
And as for a business, I mean, what impact does this have on your business?
It's quite a lot. I mean, we've been, I would say, luckier today than other businesses in Loo. I mean, Loo is still open, so don't panic. You know, if you can still, you know, still come down. But some of the shops have been badly hit. I don't know whether they're better prepared or not, but the main, I say again, is the issue of the drains and management around the town. That, you know, once the water comes and it takes ages to go away.
And there's always talks about what can be done to stop this sort of thing happening. I mean, you've said it yourself.
Yeah, there's lots of things that can be done, but it all comes down to money. And unfortunately, people seem to think that the businesses should be forking out for all this stuff to prevent floods and things. But there's got to be, you know, a compromise somewhere, and powers that be higher than or even local wise have got to sort of take action. And I mean, the guys that are sort of further afield have been hit far worse than us. We're getting on with it, but it's everywhere.
Mark Camp, I'm manager of the Tourist Information Centre. This is the worst we've had it for probably about 8 years, I think. This is the last time we had water in the Tourist Information Centre, which it needs to be pretty high to get in here. So, the ones we've had earlier this month have just been sort of, in a way, normal ones in the street. But to get it up this high, and as you've seen out there today, there's a lot of shops that have been affected.
And what made it different this time?
Again, high tide. I think it was a 5.8 this morning, but I think the wind is the main thing with this one. It's just blowing the water up the river, plus you've got the water coming down the river, and so it comes up through.
Now, what effect is this having on businesses in the town?
Well, previously, you know, the other ones that we've had, in a way, the businesses were always ready for it, and a lot of the businesses have been open again by sort of 11, 12 o'clock in the morning. This one, because it's been higher, we haven't been allowed to go down the street, so I don't know what the situation is further down there. But obviously, we're not going to be open today. We've lost, thankfully, mainly just leaflets that were on the floor. But, you know, it's flooded out the whole of the office. So, we're not going to be open today. We might be open tomorrow.
I mean, there must be someone trying to work out the cost to business in the town.
I would hope so, yes. I mean, I suppose because it's February and it's not the height of the season, we've got to be thankful that we're not exactly overrun with visitors this time of the year. So, we're not going to lose money like that. But it's the cost of stock. As I say, ours is only mainly leaflets and things like that. But I don't know, say the other shops down the street, they've probably lost stock that's worth a lot of money.
7 days with Business Cornwall.
Well, a couple of dates for your diaries. On Tuesday the 11th of February, if you're in the Penzance area, Dandelion Marketing is hosting a free business clinic at the Longboat Hotel. While over in Truro, the Cornwall Social Media Cafe will be gathering at Vertigo Bar. Meanwhile, looking a little further ahead, tickets are now on sale for a sporting dinner with rugby legend Bill Beaumont at the Cornish Pirates in Penzance, Friday, March the 1st. And don't forget, nominations are now open for the Cornwall Business Awards. For full details of all of these and more events, as usual, visit businesscornwall.co.uk. And we'll be back in 7 days' time with more from the 7 days podcast on Business Cornwall, with Nick Herrier back from skiing on the slopes. See you then.
7 days with Business Cornwall.